Hey everybody, I'm Lisa Burrell, your host of Bespeaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We're in season 6 and I'm very excited, sitting in this beautiful tavern that was created by Jeremy and Angela Walton. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I've known you all for a good, like maybe 7 or 8 years, and I've marveled at your trajectory in building your culinary empire here in Alice Beach and beyond. And we met, Jeremy, several years ago, wherein you were the VP of Food and Beverage at Alice Beach, and you have come from a wonderful pedigree of working with the finest organizations and culinary establishments in the country and beyond. Could you tell us a little bit about that background and how you both got to our lovely little hamlet at the beach?
Sure. Well, and you guys have been great supporters of ours, so we appreciate the relationship with you and V. And it was great getting to know you. It has been a few years
yes.
now. Alice was is such a special place, and it was a great opportunity. You know, my background was primarily in luxury hospitality. I had had the great opportunity, despite growing up in a really small town in Alabama, to sort of, you know, carve out some wonderful opportunities and some great places, and had the opportunity to be a part of, you know, building and developing Sea Island. I worked for Montage Hotels and Resorts in Auberge for a number of years before coming to Alice. And that was such a great, you know, opportunity to learn. I worked with so many talented people from all over the world and you know, every aspect of resort operations, but my primary focus was food and beverage, and then had the opportunity to come to Alice as the VP of resort operations and be able to sort of, you know, be a part of shaping that in its kind of formative years. And, you know, it's been just a wonderful experience to be part of that community and to help kind of shape that and leverage a lot of kind of the luxury background I had to sort of inform the direction of what we were doing at Alice.
Well, talk about how, so as Alice was growing and needing so much more than it had once the food and beverage came in, and then you were building the internal
sure.
food for Alice as well with Caliza Pool, which is an amazing dining experience. I loved it when you could just live on 30A and go there, which
sure.
I would do often. It felt so special, and it felt like I had taken a trip somewhere. You
oh,
know,
absolutely.
Very elevated
yeah.
experience. And that is just amazing. And then the Beach Club, which is, you know, second to none in like luxury, right up there with anywhere you could go in the world. And so talk about the genesis of that, because you were very much involved in the formative years of that.
I think, you know, coming from these really kind of unique luxury, you know, resort real estate driven places. I mean, they're all special places in their own right. And Alice is no different. And, you know, being a part of really developing what the amenity program for them look like, you know, what is Life Defined? What are you enjoying when you live there? Why do you live there? And being there in the early days, and, you know, Caliza, you know, was one of the very first amenities delivered. And it is true. It's otherworldly. It does feel like you've launched yourself into a different destination when you walk through the gates, but it was such a special place. And we just started to look at, you know, the architecture, the aesthetic, you know, it was just such a beautiful destination already. How do you fill that with experiences? And, you know, how do you develop a team that builds relationships with the people coming through there? And how do we elevate what we do from food and beverage? I mean, it's limited in a lot of resources. It's a very small, from a restaurant perspective, and it's very outdoor driven, but it is stunning. I mean, it is, oh. it's, you know, it's hard to sort of, you know, be hard to create that anywhere else in the world.
Right.
It was such a unique place to be able to sort of, you know, activate it with this, you know, hospitality and food and beverage. And the team that we had there at the time was really remarkable. And so it was an easy sort of, mm-hmm. and a fun opportunity to kind of take on. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we were, you know, in the planning stages of, you know, building Zuma, the fitness center, and what that experience was going to add to the community and the lifestyle, and from an amenity perspective and a wellness perspective. And that was a great project to be a part of. And then obviously the Beach Club was, you know, opened after I had sort of started Quest, but I stayed on to sort of help them, you know, finish that, because it started when it was lines on paper. And that was an exciting, I mean, again, that was the much and long awaited, you know, amenity, the amenity, if you will, for Alice Beach to have that right there on the ocean and the Gulf, and building that, you know, was a fun project. And you worked with some great architects that I had worked with in past places before. And, you know, it was long awaited by the homeowners, I think, for sure. And so it was kind of fun to see that kind of, you know, come out of the ground. And
who was the architect on that one?
So that was Hart Howerton. So, out of San Francisco and New York, and, they do a lot of high-end luxury resort work around the world. And I had worked with them previously in both Pimento Bluff and Sea Island. And so it was great to sort of reconnect with that team of really talented and creative people. And it was easy because we'd worked together before. And you know, just the commitment of Alice to sort of deliver, you know, these really spectacular amenities. You know, it's just great to sort of have a seat at that table and be a part of it. So.
So were you involved like from the beginning with the charrettes and sitting there with the architects and being part of that ground level story?
Yeah, we had obviously they had the original charrette that really gave birth to it, but we, you know, periodically throughout time and doing life of project and master planning that we had different charrettes, and Beach Club was certainly always one of the fun topics, and seeing different iterations and sketches and sitting in that room for hours and contemplating what this could be, right? So those are always the most exciting thing. I mean, you have so much control over design and execution. You know, oftentimes things are designed with just the architects in the room, and you know, for someone like me who's been very fortunate throughout my career to be able to sort of have a seat at that table when it's lines on paper, mm-hmm. as the guy who turns the lights on and off, you know, over 30 plus years, there's a perspective there that, hey, maybe we don't want to do this, but let's do it this way. And so when you have that collaboration around design that really is kind of driven by the experience you want to create, and then you shape the space around that and you create this beautiful aesthetic, it really does yield an incredible end result, because the team that's going to work there is set up for success. It's really thoughtful in its execution, and it supports all the experiences you want to provide. And you can never build them perfect, but you know, you try to leverage and do it as best you can to set it up for success. And that project was absolutely a great example.
Yeah. Well, that was nearly, not perfect. That was perfect. That wasn't nearly perfect. So then what is the year that you founded Quest Hospitality that now has Scout, your new baby that we're in right now, that opened this summer in August? Which is beautiful and so well done. And who knew that our community needed this more? The Citizen, which is the first operation, your first endeavor on your own, and then Fawnville. What year was that you opened Quest?
So I think the genesis of the idea started around 2018. We didn't really, you know, lift off or, you know, get momentum till probably 2019, closer to, but we, you know, it was interesting. One of my responsibilities, you know, running resort operations, and because of my relationships all over the Southeast and with all these different chefs and restaurateurs, there were colleagues and mentors of mine. They had, you know, sort of tasked me with, hey, can you help us identify people who'd be the right fit mm-hmm. to create sort of a food and beverage destination inside of Alice? You know, the town center, what retail looked like, what food and beverage looked like, you know, that mattered. And there was as much emphasis put on, you know, who are we going to get to do this to really develop out the town center experience. And so I had reached out to all these, you know, colleagues of mine in Atlanta and New Orleans and Charleston, and had sort of tried to court them into like, hey, don't you want to come open a restaurant here? And again, at that time, there was so much expansion in a lot of other markets. You know, you're seeing Nashville was exploding, and there were a lot of people that I was talking to doing projects there, and we were like, you know, don't you want to do this at the beach? And I think at the time, 30A, you know, is maybe not as well understood as it is today. And I think there's just certainly this fear or perception of seasonality that, you know, for a large scale restaurant operator, you know, that caliber, they want to be in a year round market. And I think there was a little bit of reluctance at the time. And so, to say I was striking out was probably fair. I mean, we got pretty far down the road, a lot of different really talented individuals. you know, at some point, you know, I think I probably took that conversation home and was complaining to Angela, and she just kind of looked at me and she said, well, why wouldn't we do it? You know, I was like, wait, what? You know, like,
that's
I can give you
great.
100 reasons why we wouldn't do that. Uh-huh. You know, we have 4 kids, you know, I've had a 30-year career, stable, you know, career, you know, and I'm a super risk averse person, but, you know, I really give her credit for sort of, I think, being the one to sort of push in that direction. And as we started to sort of contemplate it, I think, you know, the pros outweighed the cons, and it really gave, but when, again, I mean, even that was all great. I think mustering up the courage to sort of like actually present the idea was a big thing, but you know, we still had to present the idea and people had to buy in, mm-hmm. you know, we had to take that back mm-hmm. to, you know, if you think about it, my employer, and be like, hey, what would you say?
Right.
If, you know, I wanted to sort of transition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. out of my role into a different one.
Right.
And thankfully, you know, that was two gentlemen that I had worked with for a better part of my career were also working with me at Alice. And, you know, I think they were super supportive and, you know, but they were very candid. They're like, look, I can't promise you how this ends. We get why you would do it. And we think you'd probably be great at it, but you don't have a restaurant company right now. And you're asking this large, you know, development to roll the dice on you. And there are other restaurant people, you know, operators who have restaurants that are vying for the space. So, but, you know, present your ideas and, you know, we'll see what happens. And so, you know, one thing led to another. We developed the idea of Citizen and presented it. And thankfully, you know, it sort of won out, I think, on the merit of what we were trying to do in the space. It felt very fitting for Alice and it felt like something that was unique and needed perhaps in the area. And so we were fortunate enough to have that opportunity to go move forward.
That's so exciting. For someone who is adverse to risk.
Definitely.
Or you jumped in.
That's an understatement.
Right? Era. And then Angela, the fact that you were not in the business, but had been like obviously through osmosis part of the, you know, your husband's business that you had like been part of for 30 years with kids and moving to various different destinations. For you to say that, I mean, that is a really good story in and of itself, how that all began. And it took you on a ride, as it will. Businesses, ownership will take you on the ride of your life.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but mostly the good, because we wouldn't stay in it if it didn't have enough benefits to stay in it. But you have to have a labor of love and a passion, which you can clearly see that you had. So the Citizen, talk to me about what that was. Did you come up with the name? Did you start the storytelling with marketing and then put that presentation together and pitch it to Alice?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the interesting thing is I think I am creative to a point. You know, we love collaboration. We work very closely with really talented people who are very skilled, both architecture, interior design, branding, you know, creating identity and help us tell that story. I mean, but you know, I'd had 30 years to sort of contemplate if I was, you know, I mean, anybody gets in this business somewhat always contemplates it and has it in the back of their head. And so for me, it was, you know, a backlog of ideas but it was also great as I'd had, you know, 4+ years to live in this community, to get to become a part of it, to understand it, you know, obviously being a part of, you know, working alongside the team at Alice and you know, the placemaking, the really remarkable placemaking that went on. So there was a lot of great sort of, you know, guidelines and things that sort of shaped where we wanted to go and why we wanted to go there. But selfishly, I think, you know, we traveled a lot to dine and eat and get exposure and had the great fortunate, you know, being in my business to see a lot of great restaurants and meet a lot of great chefs and restaurateurs over the years. And so, you know, there was sort of a you know, if we ever did do this, you know, what would you do? I mean, certainly thought about it. And we really looked at, you know, 30A and understanding that customer. You know, you look at where everybody's from and the primary markets, right, are, you know, Nashville, New Orleans, Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, Birmingham, you know, Oxford, Charleston. I mean, you have, those are all either existing or emerging food cities. I mean, they have great restaurants and they continue to get better and new and better ideas, and they keep elevating. And so, you know, we felt like that there were a lot of kind of great established restaurants on 30A, but there weren't a lot of what I would call city restaurants. Right. And we sort of went into it and said, look, these people have all these options where they live and they travel here. It's more expensive to eat out here. You know, what if we delivered something that was more akin with the restaurant experiences that they have, you know, in those cities? And, you know, would that work at the beach? Because, you know, for us, selfishly, we had to travel to get a lot of those experiences. And so we were kind of selfishly like, well, what if we had one here, you know? And so, you know, we went into that with, you know, what would make this restaurant unique and differentiated. And, you know, we tell people the three things that define that concept are the first three things you see when you walk in the door. And, you know, the having a really nice, you know, raw bar, you know, that you sit at, and it's more formal and more driven by, you know, working with boutique oysters and oyster farmers and a wood burning hearth. You know, we have a 7-foot by 11-foot, you know, wood burning hearth. No one was really doing that. And that was, you know, a really emerging as an entire sort of thing all over the country. There were great chefs doing, you know, these great restaurants built around that concept of live fire cooking. And then, you know, selfishly, we jokingly tell people we're in the, you know, bar that serve food business and not the restaurant business, because we build everything around a big, beautiful bar, because, you know, it's more about the energy that creates and the community and how people connect, you know, with the bartenders and with the bar. And it's a very convivial sort of, it's a very unique hospitality experience. And some of the best meals I've had have been in some of the best restaurants in the country, sitting at the bar. And I think that's always kind of resonated. And so we knew we wanted to build, you know, there are a lot of great beach bars down here, but all the really nice restaurants had these really small bars. And we were like, well, what if we just built a really big one? Mm-hmm. And then so that became sort of the cornerstones of where we were going with that experience. And then we knew, being in Alice, you know, Scott Merrill had delivered this really unique and beautiful building. And I had worked on so many projects with Eric and Mary Ann of KVA, you know, Cory Bode Architects, you know, just inside of Alice, with them being the town architects. I mean, it was very natural that we would have the opportunity to work together to create the first restaurant in town center. And you know, a lot of that was presenting it to Alice going, hey, look, I understand your brand. I have been a part of helping to create it. You know, we'd be very humbled to have this opportunity to continue to build your brand, but just in a different way. And, you know, our commitment is to deliver something that would be absolutely tailor-made to be within Alice Beach. And so working with Eric and Mary Ann was a natural extension of that. Working with our branding agency was a natural extension of that. And so we had...
Shout out, your branding agency.
Devote. So Devote works very closely with Alice and does the majority of all their branding work, and had for a long time. And so we had this great relationship with them, and it was great to sort of, you know, we already knew each other.
Well, it was continuity.
Yeah,
like,
there's
all around.
A lot of that. And it shortened a lot of our conversations and simplified and focused them, because we all sort of understood. And so I had really sort of presented to them the vision for the restaurant. And, you know, Angie and I talked about it a lot as to, you know, what would we think would be,
what would it
relevant?
Like,
what would be relevant? Yeah. And we really benchmarked about, you know, if we said we're going to open a restaurant, we didn't really think as much about the location as we did what was the DNA of a great restaurant. And if we opened this restaurant in San Diego or Chicago or Charleston or New Orleans, would it be successful? And so we really started to benchmark more about, you know, just what makes a great restaurant and what drives people toward it. And
right.
It really is the kind of, you know, cornerstone of our focus is really on, you know, standards and execution. We're very culture driven but we're very design driven. And so we don't really, regardless of the concept, compromise those things. We
right.
focus on a lot of, probably an over focus on a lot of infinite little details, but we believe the collection of those things, you know, create part of the experience. I mean, a big part of the experience overall is made up of a lot of little details.
Right. So important, everything you're saying. And then the food is amazing. I've never had a bad meal there. I mean, it's just is, you know, part of it, but you need everything, how it feels, how you feel in it, how you're treated, what the ambiance is architecturally and all other areas. So Angela, now take us back to, then how do you jump into the citizen? Like, are you working, Are you giving your opinions?
What?
Jump or thrown?
Like, are you, did you have trepidation about it? Did you want to go for it? Like, where was your headspace then at the beginning?
I would say that I had, I would never say this to anybody else, but, you know, I am his biggest fan. I have so much, but I have so much confidence in what he has done, you know, I mean, what he's created just through all the places that he's worked. And he's such a passion for it that I knew this was something that he should be doing and that he could do. But I wasn't as invested and involved in all of this. It was going to be one restaurant. I was going to step in, you know, and sit at the bar maybe every once in a while. And that was pretty much it.
You could have that back.
Things did not turn out that way.
That's right. Okay. But at the time, you know, as we were getting ready to open, COVID had hit. And I was working at South Walton in the special needs department with the kids. And at that point, we were doing online teaching. And it just, it was incredibly difficult. And we're opening up in the middle of COVID. And Jeremy had asked for me to come in and, you know, kind of help the door and the host stand and just navigating everything. And from that point on, I have grown into where I am now, you know, just handling the operations and the HR. And
The COVID part, too, that was a very frightening time. And you were embarking on something very new together.
Yeah, talk about being risk averse.
I mean, that
didn't have that on the list of
kinds. That was amazing that you were able to pivot and make up through that being the beginning for the opening of Citizen.
I think it's a study in being lucky rather than good. I'm you know, a lot of the things that went wrong in the original construction of Citizen all end up proving to be blessings in the end, because the delays and some of the things that happened led us down some different paths. It you know, if we would have opened on schedule, it would have been in the middle of the shutdown, you know, in 20, you know, and we didn't open until January of 21. And so all those delays that we were, you know, had such anxiety over in the early days ended up being the saving grace, I think, for that restaurant.
Well, I'm fortunate that, you know, Alice needed help, you know, creating a protocol for COVID, and you were able to continue working with Alice during that time. So we were very fortunate in a lot of ways that when we were opening this restaurant, you know, there were all these delays, you were still able to continue working.
Buy groceries, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a blessing, for sure.
Very grateful for that. But yeah, I mean, and no one knew. Yeah, no
Florida,
one.
Florida, in a lot of ways, you know, it didn't really shut down as much as it did everywhere
else. No, it grew.
So yeah,
it grew.
Yeah,
and I don't think anyone could have predicted that. I mean, it was crazy. Our investment partners came on after COVID hit. I mean, could you imagine having a conversation with, like, do you want to invest in a restaurant? And I think that speaks to kind of, you know, again, the confidence in a long-term versus thinking versus short-term thinking. And both of them, you know, all of them are wonderful human beings in their own right and have been incredible advocates and supporters. And, you know, we needed them. And thankfully, they had the forethought and the confidence and the belief that I don't know that we did. You know, I almost tried to talk them out of it. I was like, I don't know why you would do this, but would you do it? You know, and so and it made us a better company, because we really were able to, you know, align ourselves with some very talented business minds and wonderful philanthropic human beings, and have really helped shape, I think, every aspect of our company overall. But we, you know, we were able to navigate COVID successfully, and when no one knew, and you know, it was controversial for sure, because everyone had different ideas, but no one really knew. And we did what we did, and we were very thoughtful and somewhat methodical in how we operated. And we had 3 days of actual shutdown during that time. And we had very strict protocols, and a lot of people were closing down every other week. For us, it was less of a struggle. I don't really know exactly what to credit to that, but we were very fortunate to navigate that. And we had an incredible first year, and Florida, you know, was a retreat for a lot of the country. And it proved to be another blessing that really helped us, you know, come out of the gate incredibly strong and have a first year that I don't think we could. I mean, it was very difficult because Ali's colleagues in the industry that were just going, they were in crisis. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to sort of, it was almost tone deaf to try to reach out and be like, hey, I was really hung up on this issue. You know, can you help me? You couldn't go. There was not a lot of, there were only one other person I know that was building a restaurant. It was in the same boat we were. And we were communing quite a bit because we just couldn't go to the rest of our community of people in the industry because they were all dealing with
much different,
you know, the aftermath and trying to navigate that. And both of us were very fortunate to have, you know, successful openings and survive it.
You know? Wow. That's amazing. So then how did you go from maybe sitting at the bar to like being in charge of operations, Angela, and employee staffing, and then all that comes with too, management?
Well, the host stand is like a puzzle, and it was wonderful, and I loved the organization of it and the people part of it, and I was just kind of drawn in. And then I guess I did it really well and continued doing things very well. We might have a manager, you know, who was out sick or, you know, even have to replace a manager, and I'd get thrown into the role. And I guess that I just
much
did
debated
it
in our home, but yeah. All right. No, it is because the honest truth is I would have hired her 15 years ago if I would have understood what she was capable of, you know, and how much she had really grasped. She's an incredible fast learner. For someone who didn't spend a lifetime in this industry, you know, she certainly absorbed tons of it. And I do think there's incredible value when you have insight into kind of the details of the operation, but you also understand it as a customer, right? And that experience is really where you should start. Should work the equation backwards from what happens with the experience, you know, at the table or at, you know, when you check into a resort. I mean, all of that. And then, you know, we were very fortunate in the places we were to be able to utilize those amenities and go to them. And so she had great understanding of those standards and execution and what that looked like from both the customer. But the what's, I think, brilliant and what do we, I think I give her most credit for is her brain doesn't work the way mine does. It's she's very task oriented and doesn't get plagued or bogged down with the creativity. I obsess over details and can overthink things. And she's very much fundamental of this has to be done. It's going to be done today before, you know, her head hits the pillow. And so her sort of operational execution, you know, along with the fact that she, you know, really understood the culture, is very good with people, very good with the guests, very good with the team, and really helped shape our culture. She also really became very operationally adept very quickly.
Wow.
And I've been doing this and hired a lot of people. And I mean, I've not seen people sort of develop as quickly as she has. And so, which comes back to the debate. Sometimes she likes to think that, you know, or remind me that she surpassed me in that. But, I don't argue that a whole lot. We approach things very differently, but it's very complimentary.
Right.
Yeah, and you were very good, the good student.
It should, you know, surpass the teacher. That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, then you trust one another, too, and then you have each other's back. So, you know, there is that part of work co-laboring together mm-hmm. and towards something that is very good foundationally, you know, to have somebody, you know, there, too. But I always just, like, marvel at how many husband and wives work together in our town and have, yeah, you know, yeah. for 30 years, you know. It's a small, big town, I call it. Yeah. There's a lot of transplants that have come here too. And it's an art to work together, a husband and a wife. But I think one that is good to, you know, be perfected. And I think it works in business. And it can't work for everybody,
sure.
But I know so many people here, and myself included, that work with my husband as well, where people, you know, my dad had said, like, you're doomed, you're going to get divorced, you can't do that. And I was like, no, I don't think that's going to happen, you know. But, I mean, that was kind of like a thought process. But I find it a good testament to both the marriage and business ownership. Mm-hmm. Because if it works, it helps both, actually, you know. I mean, it is a dance, and there are hiccups in the road, for sure. I can speak for myself. That you have to get over, right?
Sure.
But you get over them, and then, you know, you grow a business together.
Right.
And it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think the thing that that helps us is the respect that we have for each other and what we can contribute, you know, in this business, in this life. It is not perfect by any means. And people will watch this and be like, who are these people? In the business part of it, you know,
they get a front row seat
They do. They do. But I think that's very important. And we both know that we won't stop working. We will work till the day we die. There's just something about that's our personality. That's what kind of has connected us. And we have that understanding. And but it is a dance, and it's far from perfect at times. And we take it home, and we try not to take it home. And our children, you know, they're, please don't talk about work today. And it's hard because that's the thing that we share. And yeah, but
you're pretty good police of it. But
that's good. Did they work in the business, any of the kids?
All of them.
All of them. They all have.
Well, to degrees. We had that. We had one that worked one day. Our oldest worked one day and knew immediately, instantly it was not for her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She
moved halfway across the country to San Diego and yeah.
But, okay, and she's still there.
Oh, she knew absolutely.
We gave her the easiest job. She was on the bar cart. She just got to stay outside. There were simple drinks already made. And then she went in the kitchen and she said, oh my gosh, I'm hearing all these words like heard and behind and you know, I don't know what's going on. I can't do this. I cannot. This is overwhelming. This is too much for me.
Obviously motivated. She went and got her undergrad in California, went back, got her master's degree in California, went back and got a job in California. Mm-hmm. Like she's a,
what business is she in?
She is just got her master's in family therapy.
Yeah, we have a lot of therapists in the family.
Well, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Three of our children have psychology degrees. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then the other one, she's in trying to get into intelligence. So there's lots of mind work in the family, which are probably good case studies.
Have worked in almost all the restaurants and multiple positions. And yeah, there's no retirement plan in the future with them. But they, you know, they all were a part of it, and which was great. I mean, they definitely have, I think, an incredible work ethic, which I think is always one of the best things you can hope for your children is that they show up and they you know, you exert a great effort toward whatever it is they do. They try to do it well, and all of them have really.
But they don't do the dishes at home or take out the trash. Oh, yeah, no, they will come to work and
home is a,
and help everyone. And,
yeah, at work they're great in public. Yeah, so but
so
no.
How did they transition? When you moved to the beach, did they like, oh, we're living at the beach now? That's fascinating and fun.
It was, we've always lived on the water. We've lived in the South. And we've vacationed here forever. We were excited about the idea of it, but most of them were in middle school. It was a hard time to leave your group of friends. We had a network. So coming down here it was not easy. It was difficult for a while, but as they got, you know, in the school system and I started working with the school system, that really kind of helped us, you know, develop.
They adapted. Yeah, it just took time. It is, I think, one of the probably most difficult times of life for all of their ages. I mean, being four of them, I mean, they had each other, but, you know, it's just a difficult move at that age. Mm-hmm. You know, in theory, it sounds good, but it's a big upheaval to come. And so it took some time.
But we've moved quite a bit and they do transition well. And, you know, our son started surfing, then Savannah started surfing. They, you know, they started to adapt to their area and which they do and they do well. So, yeah that's a good thing.
So that's the citizen. Just we'll go on from the citizen in a minute. But if you could just talk about which I find very authentic and endearing, because I know you're coming from a place of authenticity, to talk about community and our community and what the citizen means relating to creating community.
Sure. I mean, when I tell you we overthink details, I mean, you think about, you know, I think some of the greatest restaurants are all, they're all what they, I think they like to call them neighborhood restaurants. And I think that just really means when you can define a restaurant as a neighborhood restaurant, it really does speak to how engaged they are with the community. And I think that was one of the things that we had hoped, you know, that we knew we were opening a restaurant. I mean, again, when you think about it, it's, you know, it's sort of on the surface. It's like, oh, we're opening this restaurant in Alice Beach. Like, well, that's a, represents a very small population. And, but it is a very small town and it's a wonderful community, to be a part of. And so, you know, despite the fact that we knew we were building a restaurant in Alice, we wanted to be part of that community. There was no doubt that we were going to be part of the fabric of that community, but we didn't want to sort of limit it to just that. We really wanted people to think of Citizen as an addition to the greater community and not just 30A, not just Alice, you know, and not just the tourist destination. And so I think everybody that lives down here understands how to utilize restaurants in and around tourist season. And so we knew that, but we wanted to sort of think about, you know, what were we doing and what kind of company would we be? And so community was, you know, it's one of our core values. It's one of the things that the principles that guide all of our decision making. And so, you know, we worked really hard to create a sustainable business but that sustainable business has to be engaged and give back to the communities that's in. And, you know, we try to find opportunities to do that either through volunteering or through charity events or, you know, donations. And we've tried to always do that. Our charitable giving policy is we get asked to participate in a lot of wonderful causes from all over the country. And, you know, that's a difficult to say no, because all of these causes are they're all wonderful causes and they're all meaningful. But we made the decision that we would limit all of our charitable giving to, you know, our primary community. So, you know, Bay, Okaloosa, and Walton counties. And so we just don't. We you know, kindly turn down requests, and this we want to dedicate to make sure that all the things we do go back to the community that we're a part of. And so, you know, Citizen in name, you know, had meaning, and we wanted it to have meaning. And we talk about this with the team and a lot. You know, we do reorientation every year. We try to sort of explain the why behind what we do, and it goes to the culture. But Citizen, you know, really in a lot of ways is really what defines, what is meant to define us as a neighborhood restaurant, as part of that community, as citizen of the world, citizen of where we live, you know, and really trying to define or explain what does it mean to be a good citizen. And so that really is a lot of behind the spirit, I think, of certainly the experience and what it means. I mean, food and beverage is a something I think that people who do it and do it successfully have an incredible passion and have a very personal connection to it. And that's very true for us, that it is transformative and that you have this opportunity to be a part of people's memories, and you're there in some of the best times and some of the worst times, and people connect differently around a table. And so through the prism of food and drink and hospitality and service, we focus on building genuine relationships and creating memorable experiences. And we do that for the team that works with us. We do that with the vendors and purveyors. We do that with our partners and collaborators. And we try to do that with the community as well. And so, there's depth, hopefully, to what we're trying to do. You know, our aspirations are to be good citizens and to be part of the greater community at large and, be a great place to work and very committed to what we do and very culture driven in that. And so that really kind of gave life to, you know, I had that name for another project that didn't come to life, and I knew I wanted to use it. And that was a big part of why I wanted to use it. And so when you sort of think about, you know, doing a restaurant in Alice and what that restaurant was, that, you know, authentically, we have great access to, you know, food regionally and ingredients and artists and purveyors and farmers and fishermen. And so how that informs and shapes the cuisine and the food in the restaurant is also true. But, you know, some of the greatest food cities in the world are coastal cities. And so how nice to be able to have this kind of canvas to draw on, to draw inspiration from all these different cultures and cuisines around the world, but tie it back into what the entire focus of the restaurant was. And so that's kind of how all those pieces kind of came together to form Citizen.
Love it. Such a good story. And I know it's real. You know, you can feel it for sure. And then, well, this podcast is going to go longer than I thought, which is good. That means it's good. So the next step was reimagining Fonville Press. So you have to give the listeners like an understanding of what that meant to, because it, the first iteration and what that was, because it was the very first F&B, right?
Yeah, okay. That was one of the very first sort of activations or experiences within Alice. I mean, dating back to 2005. And I think a lot of people didn't quite really sort of maybe take into account the history, you know, and you know, because Alice is such a new, it feels like the sort of newest sort of, you know, development or town within 30A. But, you know, Fonville opened in, I'm pretty sure, 2005, and it existed in its original state till 2018. And sadly, you know, the you know, things change and things develop and directions change. And the decision was made to you know, try to find an outside operator to bring that in. And that we were focusing on developing the amenities and not so restaurant driven. And that was a business decision. But there still was the fact that this had become a part of this community for over 15 years. And so you had a loyal following, you had a fan base. And for a lot of the homeowners, there was a special connection, I think, to it in the fact that it was kind of the first gathering spot or first third place within Alice. You know, someone described it to me, and I thought this was beautiful, is they said this is really the front door. This was for so long the front door to Alice, because it was your first opportunity to stop in. And back in the old days, we had the big hill and the playground and, you know, the original, you know, fabric of what Fonville Press was in large part a community center for Alice and for, I think, all of 30A and Walton County. It was a great way to sort of, you know, in introduce yourself to Alice or to experience it. And so that was, I think, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of sad and upset people when it closed. You know, there was a response to that.
Yes. And connection. That was hard to, from a PR point of view. That was a difficult transition.
Yeah, change is difficult.
But sure. The end result is it didn't last long. And then the reimagined Your Fonville became, you know, just like a spectacular piece of architecture, experience, the colors, everything that you did with Fonville.
I think the first thing going into that is you had to sort of honor the legacy of what it was, but you also had to accept the reality of you couldn't recreate that, you know. And so we knew, you know, that we wanted to carry on the idea and the spirit of it, but there was no way to recreate. We weren't trying to recreate it. We couldn't. It would have been a horrible failure, I think, if we would have tried to rebuild that as what it was. And so we really tried to look at what people connected with it and why, and think about how could you build on that and how could you expand what that experience looked like. And we knew from a lot of surveys, homeowner surveys, and that one of the things that kept coming up as a desired amenity for Alice was a market. And I mean, you have to have coffee, for love of God. You have to have coffee. So we knew that, you know, that was easy. But you know, and so we were able, you know, we worked with our wonderful local roaster that does custom roasts for us with Ima Vida, and they were part of the original Fonville. So it was an easy extension to bring that into the new Fonville. But we just, it was a bigger space, which was a great benefit. And it was in town center with a large public area out front with the plaza. And we wanted to sort of think about what would make it unique. And so even in design and colors, you know, we were spending a lot of time in California with our daughter when she was going to school out there and started to sort of discover Palm Springs. And, you know, we felt like, oh, this would be a very different aesthetic than what most people see in 30A. And so we wanted to sort of introduce this a little bit of this California Palm Springs in terms of the color and the palettes and the vibrancy of it and the energy and, you know, that created, and it certainly has an homage to old Florida. And, you know, Angie had the brilliant idea of, you know, we sort of talk about the plaza and how big a space that was. It's like, you know, how do we connect? How do we make these spaces feel connected? And it was her idea to sort of, you know, create the bar that, you know, opens up to the outside to have that energy
spectacular
work both ways. And so, you know, it just sort of took shape. And it's a really difficult concept. I think we're very humbled by, I think, how everybody's responded to it. I think everybody's
really so beautiful.
Took into it, has taken to it and embraced it. But it was, you know, you're doing a lot of, it's very difficult. I mean, I think in business school, they tell you it's the worst thing to do is don't try to be all things to all people. Fonville is very much a study in doing a lot of different disciplines and trying to do those well inside of one space. And it was we learned a lot of lessons. We learn every day. We continue to adapt and expand, and we're in the process of that now. But you know, Fonville was going to be very different than the original one, but we wanted to capture that community center aspect, that third space, that gathering. And I think we, to some extent, have done that really well. And I think we've just been overwhelmingly humbled at the response to how people have connected with that concept and that brand.
So now we're sitting in your latest curation, Scout, which is absolutely beautiful. I really think this was a passion for you, not necessarily that the other two were not, but I remember when you were talking a couple of years ago about like envisioning this and that you were working on something that was coming soon, you know, your face lit up because you just had a vision for it. And now we sit in a place that's now 6 or 7 months old. Mm-hmm. And from an outsider looking in, it looks like you've had wild success. Am I right?
We have been very blessed with the response, I think, too. I mean, we learn every day. I mean, new restaurants are always a study, and, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And if you think you know, then you already have a problem. And so we learn every day, and the team has done great. I mean, our teams, you know, it's easy to conceive these ideas, and it really takes a wonderful team of people to bring them to life. And I mean, we unfairly get a lot of credit for the work that the great work that they do. And this was no different. I mean, you know, we were very fortunate to have a team of people that come in and help us bring this to life. But it's a fun project. You know, you start to think about, again, there's a lot of city inspiration in this. And, you know, one of our daughters was at school in Chicago at Loyola Marymount, and we were spending a lot of time in Chicago and have a lot of dear friends that work in the industry there. And it's a wonderful food city. And,
it is.
So many great experiences. And so as we were spending more time up there and kind of taking that in, and so I think there's a lot of New York City that shaped some of the vision for this, and a lot of Chicago, and you know, thinking about what this could be and what it meant to do a classic American restaurant and bar, and you know, the sports theme was kind of an easy extension of that, and something that I think people, you know, understand and have a familiar connection with that idea of that. And we wanted to build, you know, something that looked like it had been here for a longer time than, you know, it's just this new shiny new restaurant that opened. We wanted to sort of try to give some character in the aesthetic and some warmth and something that was, you know, a little bit throwback and retro and vintage and look and feel, and but was really kind of rooted in this idea of, you know, what an old school classic, and really like a lot of the traditional restaurants in New York and Chicago, these old shotgun restaurants that are very dark, and a lot of the booths and the bar is, you know, very much a study in, you know, two things that I love, a great hotel lobby bar and a great dive bar. And this is sort of a mix up of a
couple,
mashup of those two.
Members only. It feels members only as well.
Country club part of it.
There was a lot. I think there's a lot of, you know, my time at Sea Island and how, you know, the River Bar and the Oak Room Bar were these really just iconic bar experiences that shaped Sea Island, and how people would wait 2 hours for a table in them. I mean, this is a clientele that makes reservations and doesn't wait for things, and but they would wait for that. It was, so we knew there was this aesthetic and this vibe and energy and warmth that we wanted to try to recreate inside of this space. And so there's definitely a very much a undertone of an old, you know, 50s or 60s country club. And that was baked in intentionally to create that idea of community again, and how people gather and come together around through food and beverage. And we just wanted to do something that was kind of reimagining something very simple, but done in a more thoughtful way.
Done so well. Bravo. It is really beautiful. The wood, the leather, you know, just everything. And it's all about how things feel and the taste level that you are clearly able to attain with everything that you do. And that is a passion and a respect for your customers. That I don't think people really understand, because this would have probably, you know, done well, you know, if you didn't put all of this in, you know what I'm...
But I don't know that we could do it. Yeah.
Just such a respect for what people are going to feel like when they're here and what they're going to get. I will tell you, and I know I'm not a restaurant, operator or an expert of anything, but because of my marketing mind, when I first saw the bar, when I did a walkthrough with you before it was open, I'm like, wow, that's a big bar. Like, I wonder if that's ever going to be full. And then I think in the first week, every time I saw pictures and when I was here, it was completely full. And I'm like, well, what do I know?
That has resonated for sure. Right. You know, again, I think people, you know, there is a unique aspect to, I mean, even in some of the best restaurants in the world, there's a lot of people either know or don't know that there's a different experience that can be had at the bar, and people that know it, I mean, they sort of gravitate toward it. And I think in some ways we're that way too, but we just wanted to create, you know, and this was our first opportunity to really have the bar have its own space and it's separate from the dining room and the restaurant side of it. And so it allowed us to, you know, we try to build these vignettes into all of our restaurants so that there's a variety of ways to enjoy each of them. You know, inside of them, there's different experiences to be had. And we did that with Citizen and we did that with Fumble, and we kind of brought that same idea, you know, into Scout. And so this gave us a greater opportunity to really expand on that and what the experience in the restaurant would be versus, you know, the experience that you can have in the bar. Cause in most of our restaurants, they're sort of together. And this was, we had a little bit more of a separation of the two spaces and allowed us to think a little bit differently about the two, how we curate these experiences differently. So,
wow. Well, I think you've done a magnificent job. This is no pun intended, you know, but, you know, bravo. And this was a home run, you know, for sure. Yeah. You know, the name and everything. And just, it's really so impressive to see how it took off so quickly. And everything that you've done in the community and creating beautiful places and spaces. It's not easy to do that. It takes a lot of money. It takes time. It takes heart. It takes soul. And I just love when I see excellence. And
we're very kind.
It's excellence, you know. Well, this was really interesting. And I love how deep we got into, you know, the actual, you know, the making of it. What's on the horizon, if anything? Are you going to keep going?
We have a child who has just moved to New York. Okay. So as we, you know, take a lot of inspiration from where our kids are traveling, you know.
Who knows?
We'll see. Yeah. We'll never stop working, and I'll tell you that. And I think, you know.
Well, that's interesting.
But we also, with all of that, we want to be very invested and involved in the concepts that we do have. Right. We feel it's very important, especially with the culture that we're developing. And, you know, so.
The restaurant scene in New York, what's it like now? I haven't.
I mean, it's such a vibrant city, and it just, it's always evolving, right? I mean, it's, you know, there are places that I just feel compelled that I have to go back to when I'm in that city that were so inspirational to me early on, you know, Gramercy Tavern, Balthazar. I mean, there are places I feel compelled to set foot in no matter what, but the ability to keep up with the ever changing landscape of, you know, everything that's going on. And not to mention that if they're really successful at it, it's not easy even for someone in the business to get into, to see them. But I think, you know, and I think it's not just New York. There's so much I think that's happening and evolving in so many cities in the world of food and beverage. And there's so much more creativity and there's a lot of, you know, youth and ideas that are finding ways to earlier maybe in there to bring those to life. And so there's just, I mean, I love consuming, you know, creativity. I mean, as I love traveling, I love seeing what people are doing, and everything is somewhat inspired by something that came before. And so we don't run from that. I mean, every one of the restaurants we have, I could draw lines back to something in some particular restaurant somewhere in the world that was, you know, so memorable that we tried to capture some piece of that or interpret it differently and pay it forward. And so, you know, to her point, we have a ton of, I mean, the ideas are certainly there and there are things that we want to do, but I think our focus for this year is to really, I think we want to be very responsible in how we grow and that protecting the quality and the consistency of what we're trying to achieve in all of our restaurants today, that while we could go on and probably do more, you know, right away, I think the thought is more to, you know, do that more thoughtfully and carefully and go back. So our focus this year is really going back into Citizen 5 years, and we're looking at, you know, different improvements and enhancements and elevating that experience and, you know, writing the next chapter for Citizen going into 5 years and, you know, COVID dictated a lot of what we had to do opening that restaurant. So to have the opportunity now to go back and do some of the things that we didn't get to and elevate from some of the things that we've learned and the improvements that we can make. I think it's exciting to reimagine the next chapter for Citizen. And same thing with Fondable. I mean, we're really focused on kind of starting back at the beginning and working back through how do we make sure what we can keep doing what we're doing well 20 years from now.
Perfecting perfection.
Yeah. Maybe. At least we're striving right. for it, I guess.
Well, thank you. It's good to know you all. I love dining in your establishments. Thank you for being partners with S&B.
Oh, yeah.
And also part of the cookbook, making the, yeah. our cookbook, Cooked by V, look so beautiful, Fondville and the Citizen, too. And that was a fun endeavor in partnership together as well. Well, Jeremy, Angela, you've been delightful. I love this place. And thank you.
Thank you.
For
thank
being
you for
here.
All your support all these years. Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate you. All right, everyone. Have a great day and come check out all their establishments. Each of them. So great. And I want to get a bowl cup.
All right.
All right. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.